This is Maryland Viewpoints, an in-depth discussion of the events and issues impacting our state. Now, from the studios of the Maryland News Network, this is Maryland Viewpoints with Meredith Marks.
Welcome to Maryland Viewpoints. I'm Meredith Marks, and this week we are chatting with Lisa Wiederlight, Executive Director of Safe Minds, Resolving the Autism Crisis. Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
Welcome aboard.
Thanks.
So Safe Minds is a Baltimore-based national 501c3 nonprofit organization. It was founded in 2000 by parents of children with autism and is led by parents of children with autism and those who love them. Safe Minds' mission is to end the autism crisis by promoting environmental research and advocating for effective treatments. Now, people that don't know much about autism, which is hard to believe because there is so much out there, kind of like an overabundance of information about autism out there. But for people that are tuning in that may not know, I know that there is something called the autism spectrum, and you and I have some mutual friends. For instance, our friend Shari has five children. Three of her sons are on the autism spectrum, but kind of in different areas of that. Can you talk about what that autism spectrum looks like and the different ranges that it has for different children?
Sure. Autism is characterized in a number of different ways, but mainly communication challenges, including language challenges, cognition, whether or not there's intellectual disability, might be social skills, and there are probably two or three other main things, but they vary on the individual. So, you know, it's really hard to say, well, that's autism, because you've seen one person with autism. We say you've seen one person with autism. So you may have people who are extremely intelligent and independent and need minimal assistance at school or at home or in the community. And then you may have someone who really needs maximum amount of supports one-on-one at all times. And, you know, with Safe Minds, we also talk about the disabling features of autism that usually are associated with co-occurring medical conditions, which are very, very common, including gastrointestinal disease, which occurs in about 75% of people with autism, seizures, which occur in about a third of people with autism, mental illness, which is extremely common in our community, whether it's depression and anxiety, suicidality. And then we talk about sleep disturbances and sleep patterns and wandering, like people with autism wander, just like people with Alzheimer's wander.
Talk about the correlation between gastrointestinal issues with autism. I find that really interesting because you can probably see the mental side a little bit easier. But when you think about the gastrointestinal issues, is that because it's stress induced or what is that?
Well, you know, there's something called leaky gut syndrome, which is scientifically valid, actually written about it. I have not, but written about it in scientific journals. And what that is for whatever reason, whether it be genetic or environmental with food challenges, that's unknown the cause. But the idea is that the intestinal wall is permeable or more permeable than with people who are not affected. And so undigested proteins get into the bloodstream and they can act as fake neurotransmitters in the brain or block neurotransmitters in the brain, and it affects brain function and brain development in children. Mm. And so that's, you know, the interplay between the gut and the brain is just starting to be understood by the scientific community. And there have been some really great studies out just this year. But, you know, we don't really know what comes first. Although, yes, some of the GI issues do deal with stress and irritable bowel syndrome. And does that develop into Crohn's disease? And these things are very common in our community. And what's troubling to us at Safe Minds as well is up to 40% of people with autism are nonverbal. So if you're nonverbal and you're in pain because you have GI issues, how do you tell someone?
How do you tell someone?
A lot of times, yeah, it's a question, right? Yeah. A lot of times people with autism have behavioral problems. And you might see that out in the grocery store. You might hear about that in public. Or maybe one of your friends is telling you, my kid got really aggressive with me today. Aggression occurs in 56%, actually says 56% of people with autism aggress against their caregivers. Well, if you can't talk, you might try to get someone's attention in another way through a behavioral issue. Self-injurious behaviors like hitting your head against the wall on the floor in some kids with severe GI issues is very common because they can't communicate any other way and they're in pain and it's frustration. They're trying to communicate. So we say all behavior is communication.
Isn't there a stigma to that where people that don't know will look at a child that's banging their head on the wall and think, what's wrong with that child? and maybe put a stigma on and not think maybe this child really is trying to communicate and they don't know the situation, right? Doesn't that happen pretty much on the daily?
It does. It's getting better over time as more and more people are diagnosed with autism. In Maryland, autism is one in 50 children.
Wow.
It's the second highest of all the 11 sites that the CDC counts. It's getting better, but it still exists. And people are still telling me, like, I'm struggling to get my kid diagnosed. They don't want to diagnose my kid, especially with girls, because girls are less frequently diagnosed. And I think it's 4 to 1 boys have autism versus girls. But, you know, girls get autism, too. And if they have these hallmark issues of behavioral challenges, social skill issues, maybe some cognition, about a third of people with autism have an intellectual disability. Not all. So it is a stigma. But, you know, what I would tell people is if you see someone in the grocery store struggling, like maybe don't pass judgment, but you can always ask how you can help. My son had GI issues before we had a colonoscopy done and endoscopy done and saw the huge inflammation on his colon. And he had these behaviors. And I'll never forget, we're in a grocery store and he was laying on the floor, we were in Pikesville, banging his head on the floor. And I had my hands under his head trying to stop him from doing that. And some stranger stuck their jacket under his head until he stopped. And then I was hugging him and stopping, you know, stopping him from crying afterwards. And that stranger grabbed their jacket and walked away. I never knew who they were.
Wow.
So, and that story, I mean, my son is now almost 20 and my son was 5 or 6 when that happened. And that's unforgettable to families.
So if you're in Pikesville and you're listening to this and you're the person that put the jacket down, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That is so, so nice. Talk about when I was in school in the 80s in elementary school, we didn't hear much about the word autism.
Right.
And it's not as it wasn't as prevalent as it is now. We'll talk about how this has all really come about.
You know, autism has always existed, but you're right in that the huge increase in autism really started, what we see were births that started in the late 1990s. So people like me and you who grew up in the 80s, like I still strain my brain to try to think of anyone who would be on the spectrum. And certainly not, and this huge increase that you see is people who you really wouldn't miss. People who you might see, we call it stimming or self-stimulating, like they hold their hands up in the air or flap their arms or flap their hands or spin in circles. I don't remember that. And the increase really started, like I said, in the late 1990s. In the year 2000, autism prevalence was 1 in 150, and now it's 1 in 59.
Wow.
And the data show that that huge increase really is kids who regressed into autism versus the kids who were born with it. And I'm starting to see data that shows it's the more severe, moderate to severe cases that we're seeing. So it's not the people who could perhaps be on the good doctor. Not that people with autism, you know, still have issues who are high functioning enough to be on the good doctor. But that big increase is really people with very severe and complex needs who will need care the rest of their lives.
And how is Safe Minds different than other organizations?
Thank you. You know, each organization has their niche in the autism community. And what Safe Minds is really doing is educating people about, you know, the moderate to severely affected with autism who, you know, it affects their independence, it affects their everyday, and also caregivers. We hardly ever hear about the issues that caregivers face, whether it's lost wages or their own mental illness, and depression is probably pretty high. I know that there's research out there from, I believe it's Pennsylvania, that shows that mothers of children with autism have the same stress levels as combat soldiers, and that's based on cortisol levels. So, you know, what's happening for the parents? We're trying to raise money, actually, which we'll talk about, not only for government affairs to educate elected officials on this, but actually, you know, educate mental health providers as well on how to work, and public safety providers, how to work with caregivers through an initiative we want to call CSI, Caregiver Support Initiative Autism. And although it's kind of a quirky, cute name, it's really more about helping the people who help the people who need help, you know, and how do you do that? And if you can't help a parent, how does that parent help the child?
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. You know, every 11 minutes, someone in the United States is diagnosed with autism. More children will be diagnosed with autism this year than the number of children diagnosed with AIDS, diabetes, and cancer combined.
Right, right.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah. Even, you know, another statistic that I like, and this is all, you know, online from peer review journals. And actually, the stat you just gave about the combination of diagnoses is from Mass General Hospital. But, you know, what we're seeing is there's more children diagnosed with autism since the year 2000 than the number of people living in Baltimore City, which is staggering.
That is crazy.
Right.
That is crazy. Right. Do you feel that the school systems in Maryland are handling autism pretty well?
I think the school systems are doing the best they can, but I believe they're overloaded with needs for resources and teachers and special education teachers and regular ed teachers, you know, having to work with IEPs, which are educational programs for people with autism, and parents like me who are advocating for their children, you know, as to the best of their ability. I think that they're probably overloaded with needs, and I don't think they have the resources for that.
So, for instance, if there's teachers, and there are a lot of teachers like this, that have been in the school system for 30, 40 years, and now this, you know, uprising of children on the autism spectrum hits in the late 90s, are there education courses for these teachers on how to assist with these children?
I know that there are certificate programs specifically on autism for new teachers, but I don't know that there are in-service trainings for teachers who have been for years and years and years as a teacher. And, you know, one of the things, again, that Safe Minds is really pushing through an initiative called our Autism Era Act, which we'll talk about, is having best practices for educational services for our kids. A lot of people with autism learn differently. And so how can we best serve their needs?
This is Maryland Viewpoints. We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to tackle Fashion Rocks Autism. We'll come back right after this.
When it comes to getting health insurance, figuring out where to even start can be the hardest part. So start here at MarylandHealthConnection.gov. 9 out of 10 people who enrolled through Maryland Health Connection last year got savings. Plus, rates are even lower this year. Maryland Health Connection is hosting free events across the state from November 1st through the 9th, where trained experts can answer your health plan questions. Visit MarylandHealthConnection.gov/getconnected to find an event near you.
Energy efficiency interviews are brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
So, Lisa, do you always leave your stereo on, even when you're not there to listen to it?
What stereo?
The one you left on in the other room.
Oh, that one. I was going to turn it off, actually, but I got distracted. I mean, come on. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody has those days.
Hang on. You're just repeating the lyrics to Hannah Montana's song.
Nobody's perfect. Okay, I'm turning it off.
Millions of kids are using their energy wisely. What's your excuse? Learn more at loseyourexcuse.gov.
If you have uninsured auto fines you owe to the Maryland Motor Vehicle Administration, please listen. The Fine Fix program can help eliminate 80% of your fines. 80%. Through a partnership between the MVA and Maryland Auto, Fine Fix helps Maryland drivers get rid of their uninsured auto fines, get back in good standing, and get the insurance they need. To see if you are eligible, visit finefix.maryland.gov. The Fine Fix program ends soon, so don't wait. Visit finefix.maryland.gov.
Welcome back to Maryland Viewpoints. I'm Meredith Marks, and this week we are chatting with Lisa Wiederlight, Executive Director of Safe Minds, Resolving the Autism Crisis. Hey, Lisa, welcome back.
Thank you.
Okay, Fashion Rocks Autism. It is happening Friday, November 8th from 7 to 11 p.m. The Delta Hotels by Marriott, Baltimore Hunt Valley. And $25 is a general admission. You're going to have shopping, auctions, fashion, a fashion show, rock concert, and a party rock power hour. $125 VIP ticket also includes heavy hors d'oeuvres and open bar. And one of my favorite bands, That's What She Said, is going to be playing. And Miss Tina is the lead singer, my dear friend, your dear friend. And her son, Logan, has autism.
I say she's a cooler autism mom than me. There's no way I can do all of that.
I think it's really hard to compete on the cool level with Tina because
can't.
She is probably the coolest. Talk to me a little bit about Fashion Rocks Autism. How many years have you guys been doing this?
This is our fifth year.
Wow. Fifth year.
Yeah.
Okay. And tell me a little bit about it.
So we say it's a rock concert, it's a fashion show, it's a dance party, and most often, you know, it's a charity event. We believe strongly that, you know, sometimes autism life is hard, and we wanted this night to be really fun. So we have people with autism on the runway. We have family members of people with autism on the runway. We have elected officials like Delegate Michelle Guyton, who herself is a special needs mother, on the runway, and Delegate Hedelman on the runway, and business leaders on the runway. And it really is a ton of fun. People leave there feeling good, like they've done something positive and they've learned a lot, because we do educate people a little bit on autism and why they should give to the charity and support what we're doing.
So there's a 1 hour reception with open bar, DJ, heavy hors d'oeuvres, silent and live auctions, a live comedian. In addition to the fashion show, live rock concert, and new party rock power hour of dancing and refreshments. And this is going to be so much fun. You've got Kristen Bursett, 2004 Miss Florida.
I'm not sure she's coming. However.
Oh, she might not be coming. Okay.
So, but we do have Rachel Barcelona, who was the first Miss Florida contestant with autism. And she's known internationally now. And she sings the national anthem before Fashion Rocks Autism in an operatic style. You've never seen anything like it until you've seen Rachel. She's amazing. She's coming up from Tampa. This is her fifth year.
That's great. Yeah. And Patrice Sanders, anchor for WBFF Fox 45. Mm-hmm. And James Williams, autism advocate. Heidi Shear, she's a mother of an autistic child.
And Mrs. USA.
And Mrs. USA 2019. That's wonderful.
She's our board member now, too. We had to grab her. So she's wonderful.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. So what do the proceeds go towards?
So we're really trying to fund really three things. One is that CSI Autism initiative, which I discussed, to help find ways to support parents and others who care for people with autism so that they have the resources they need. Then we're also trying to fund some education and outreach to the autism community. Many people contact us. You know, I'm a mother of a son with autism, and I need help on educational resources. Where can I find them? Or my son just got diagnosed, or sometimes adults who are undiagnosed just got diagnosed. And, you know, what do I do now? So we always educate on that. We always educate on the co-occurring conditions, because unfortunately, when your child is diagnosed, they don't tell you about GI issues or seizures or mental illness or wandering. So we're trying to change that. And then we have something huge, which we call our Autism Era Initiative, which stands for Effectiveness, Responsiveness, and Accountability. Since 2006, there's been one big federal bill called the Autism CARES Act, and it's funded research, which is great. But most of us need more than research now. We need results and programs. So we're looking to fund a full-time federal autism coordinator in the Executive Office of the President, so that we call it agency neutral. It's not just Health and Human Services, but they can interact and coordinate with labor for unemployment issues and education for education issues and every part of the federal government that is affected by and serves people with autism would be involved in creating a national strategy with measurable goals and objectives to improve the lives of people with autism. We can measure rates and success in unemployment. There's up to 80 to 85% unemployment in the autism community, which is unacceptable and unneeded, because people with autism can be completely productive. We're looking for, again, best practices and training public safety people across the country. And that won't happen unless you have a strategy and someone who can be the point person on autism. And then we're looking for a small office just to put all this together. And we're looking for that at the federal level and then also at the state level.
Tell people, get a little bit personal here. Talk about your story. How did you get involved with Safe Minds?
My son was diagnosed with autism when he was 33 months, way back in 2003. and that was early, and it's still early. The average age of diagnosis hasn't changed in the past 20 years, which is unfortunate. The average age of diagnosis is 53 months, which pretty much pushes out early intervention, which has proved to be very successful. So that's the average. But my son, he's wonderful. He was one of those children who regressed. He was born normal in that he had met all his milestones, and he regressed at 14 months, and no one can tell us why, and no one could tell us what to do. No one told us about the co-occurring conditions. As a matter of fact, we were told, well, sometimes kids with autism have GI issues, instead of just treating the GI issues. And unfortunately, that still happens today, too. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of my own personal thing to try to make that stop, because that's not fair to the person with autism or to the caregiver who's racking their brain to figure out how they can help their child. My son is an expert bowler. I'm not sure where he got that from, but I'm certainly not from me. But, you know, he has a lot of strengths and he is a young adult. And at this point, what we're faced with is What a lot of young adults with autism are faced with is once they turn 21, people with autism don't get services from the educational system anymore. It's not something that's given. Now you have to try to coordinate and put together all of these services from all over the place. And it's usually left to the caregivers to do it or the person with autism. And it's a very tangled web of services and paperwork, and it's very confusing. So we're trying to change that too. And my son also has epilepsy, I mentioned, as a commonly co-occurring condition. And that started during puberty, which happens with a lot with our children with autism. It either happens during infancy or during puberty. And just like a lot of our people with autism, they can't find a cause. And some of the treatments for our population don't work for the typically developing population. So we're trying to change that too and make sure that research that's been funded through the Autism Cares Act, you know, is translated to the community so we can help our families.
I love sitting across from a mother who gets the fire in the belly. And when you don't get the answers that you're looking for and you're finding that it's just the resources are not there, you are going to take matters into your own hands and go and try to do it and make a change.
Thanks.
So, I mean, very admirable to be able to do that.
Thank you.
Kudos to you for that.
Thanks.
So Safe Minds, do you guys have community support groups in the essence that people are listening and they're going, you know what? I think my child might have autism. I think that my child needs assistance, or we just got diagnosed and I just need a couple of moms to come together and talk to me because I don't know anybody. Do you have a group of moms in the community that offers support?
Safe Minds doesn't do that per se, because we're mainly advocacy based and education outreach. However, for me personally, and most of us involved at Safe Minds, that advocacy that we do really helps us, again, like you were saying, take action and you feel better because you're still doing something to help. And we have not only moms, we have some dads, but we also have grandparents involved and cousins and my sister, you know, aunts involved. Because people want to help their family members and those they love. And it makes them feel better to know that, hey, if I can advocate for this bill, or if I can educate an elected official, whether it's federal, state, local, my local delegate, we can do something. But we also partner with other organizations who do those services. And we refer people, like there's one organization called the Autism Community in Action, which is TACANOW.org is their website, TACA now. They have some support groups in the area, and the Autism Society of America has some support groups in the area too. And if people are looking for those answers, we can usually provide them.
And your website is safeminds.org.
Yes.
And also for Fashion Rocks Autism, safeminds.org/Fashion Rocks Autism. And you can get tickets. It's Friday, November 8th, 7 to 11 p.m. at the Delta Hotels by Marriott in Hunt Valley. $25 general admission, shopping, auctions, fashion show, rock concert. And $125 VIP ticket also includes heavy hors d'oeuvres and open bar. Lisa Wiederlight, thank you so much, Executive Director of Safe Minds, for coming on our show today.
Thank you.
And enlightening people about autism and the autism spectrum. And we're so excited about Fashion Rocks Autism 2019.
Thank you. We are too. We appreciate it.
So anything that you can do to support, again, you can go to safeminds.org. And you take donations?
We do. And what we tell people too is, if you can't make it, but you want to buy a ticket, if you donate that ticket, we can give it to someone in the disability community. And we certainly take donations at safeminds.org/support safeminds. You can see that on our page. And yeah, we could use all the help we certainly can get. It's a big lift for us to be pursuing, you know, advocating these bills, but obviously they're really needed. And the event really is fun. Our auctions have amazing items in them, like a guitar signed by the band U2. And we've got trips to New York and trips to San Diego on the America's Cup yacht. We've got art by Mary Beth Marsden, who herself is an autism mother. Art by another autism mother who lives in Ellicott City. Just amazing, amazing things. And restaurants. And really, it's a fun night. And you probably won't see anything like that but once a year.
Well, get to it. Fashion Rocks Autism 2019, safeminds.org/Fashion Rocks Autism. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you.
This is Maryland Viewpoints, a presentation of the Maryland News Network, heard on radio stations across Maryland. The views expressed in this program are not necessarily the views of radio station ownership, management, or advertisers. Join me again next time for Maryland Viewpoints. I'm Meredith Marks.